720 WGN. Oh, yeah. Whoa, Tom. Tom Hush. Kudos to Tom Hush, who is working the bumpers and having awesome, relevant lead-in music to go along with some of our guests. And when it comes to preparedness and fire safety and the fire service, and we're going to talk a little bit about some of the other events that they respond to. It isn't always fires. Oftentimes there's emergencies that are happening on the roadways. We talk about a lot of that, whether it's road trips or automotive or cars. And so this is interesting and exciting stuff to be able to kind of share with the listeners. It's the National Auto Body Council First Responder Emergency Extrication Program. It is important. You don't need it until you need it. And on the line with us, we've got, I think it's two people. Natalie Zeich, she is with the program, and then also Chief Tom Stysinski from the Alsa Fire Department. He is joining us as well. Guys, are you both on the phone, or is it just Natalie at first?
No, we're both here.
Hello.
All right, guys, welcome to WGN. Let's talk a little bit about the program. I know that the demonstration happened in Crestwood, and describe what it is that you guys are doing, certainly trying to keep our first responders up to speed with the latest, whether it's equipment or techniques or education, to make sure everybody can stay safe.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, obviously, for having us on tonight. We at Crash Champions, we're hosting this really awesome event for all the local fire departments throughout, you know, the southern suburbs here. It's an event that's sponsored in part with National Auto Body Council, Allstate Insurance, and Crash Champions. The vehicles were donated to us by Allstate. It really gives our local fire departments hands-on experience extricating passengers from damaged vehicles. You know, they don't get to do that often when, you know, most of the time they do it, it's in the heat of the moment. So it's nice to be able to do it here just to practice and get some real-world examples here. So it's a lot of fun. I think they're really enjoying it.
Natalie, I wanted to ask you, too, is when people think, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners are thinking about the jaws of life as sort of a, you know, some sort of universal catch-all tool that you can kind of stick in there and it'll just bust the thing open. Talk a little bit about some of the things that the different departments and some of those personnel are learning that may be different or beyond, you know, just the jaws of life and that kind of concept.
Sure. Maybe Tom can answer that one for you for sure.
Yeah. So with the technology in vehicles nowadays, it's pretty challenging if we have to do an extrication. Cars are designed to keep the passengers protected. It does so by airbags. It does so by collapsing the car around you, and it also does it by the types of materials that are used in the cars right now. So we see a lot of major accidents. I should say the vehicles look like they're extremely damaged, but a lot of the people walk away now, and it's because the cars actually absorb all the energy of the accident instead of the passengers. However, if we get some of the accidents that are high speed or unusual, and we have to do extrication, now that poses a challenge to us because now we have to find a way to, with the technology, how to get through some of those barriers, if you will. And some of it is by techniques. Some of it is by newer modern tools. The original jaws of life that came out in the late 60s, early 70s, back then will not work on the newer metals today, will not work on the newer technology of vehicles.
Wow.
So that's one of the things as the fire departments is we need to keep up with the current types of tools to be able to combat those different barriers, if that makes sense.
Yeah, we'll let the listeners know we're talking with Chief Tom Stysinski from the Allsip Fire Department. And I think from the consumer side and from the driver side of things, and we talk, you know, auto racing a lot, and I think a lot of the safety measures that are built into racing cars have built themselves into the consumer models as well. And so people are safer in a bunch of different ways, and we know that cars don't rust like they used to, so we understand they must be made of different things. When you say that it can't get through, so are they materials that are just either stronger or lighter, or is it just the way that the car is put together that you have to go about things a different way?
Yes to all of the above. We're seeing a lot of metals now. They're exotic metals. So they're a lot lighter than the steel cars of back from the 50s through the 70s. So they're lighter. They're stronger. More fuel efficient because they are lighter. If you go back to the early models of the cars, you know, from the 50s to the 70s, they were nothing more than rolling bricks. Now the cars are very lightweight. They're very aerodynamic, very, you know, they're much more fuel economy. And all that poses challenge when we start doing extrication at that point, especially with the way that they are constructed. So we're seeing a lot of different variable amount of materials depending on where they're at in the car, as well as how they're manufactured as well. So all of that presents a challenge to us. One of the other challenges is also the amount of airbags that are in vehicles now.
Yeah.
One of our concerns is how many airbags have gone off and then how many haven't gone off. So we have to be careful of that also. If we do something in the wrong place or the wrong way, we can typically set off another airbag or another set of airbags, thus either injuring the passengers further or even injuring any of our responders.
Wow, Chief, I hadn't even really thought about that, but it's got to be similar to, you know, whether it's diffusing, I don't want to say diffusing a bomb, something like that, or even a minefield, right? So you get to this scene and you're trying, right, to work around whatever is the technology there, because you don't want to kind of, I guess, just let the, I don't know what it would be called, is you just activate, I guess, that airbag. Do you guys use, because all the cars are so different, it isn't like there's just a few manufacturers like there maybe was back in the day. Do you use like the internet to get a schematic of the car and what it all has, so you guys are kind of prepped as you roll in?
There are different apps and there are different, I guess, information, but there are so many different manufacturers and so many different models that it would be next to impossible to try to remember,
yeah.
Or pull up the app as you're responding and try to figure out. By the time you figure out what car it is, you could get the person out by other techniques. So those are great tools to use, and they're great for our toolbox. But we use it as a combination, plus, you know, either past experience or what we do in training. And that's what's very important about the seminar tonight, is it gives us real-world cars with the newer technology and learning newer techniques for extrication, if you will.
Yeah, it's important. So Natalie Zeich, she is, of course, with the program and National Autobotic Council, and, of course, Chief Tom Stasinski from Alsip Fire Department. So, Chief, you guys are down there in Crestwood, and I think you're one of the hosts for it. How many different departments from around Chicagoland are participating in this?
I think there's six.
Yeah, we had about six different departments all over the southern suburbs this evening. So it was a nice turnout.
Well, and I know, too, is a lot of this information gets shared. So there's a lot of best practices that the departments use, whether it's MABUS or some of those other ways that people kind of share information and some of the things that you guys learn. I did want to ask you, we've got a few minutes, we'll get all the information, of course, have links up at WGNradio.com. But I saw something in some of the paperwork about electric cars. And we think of them as a great way to, whether it's to save the environment or certainly save on fuel costs. But does that, you know, when you've got a car that is electrified in a bunch of different ways, or maybe it's the battery itself that could pose a danger, how do you guys approach that?
Well, that's the other thing with the hybrid cars and the all-electric cars. That's even another challenge for us. The hybrid cars, you're talking about almost up to 400 volts of battery power with the electric part of it as well. And then you got some of the electric cars that are all electric. And batteries aren't traditionally in the front of the cars anymore. They are all over the place. They are buried all over the different parts of the vehicles now. So even sometimes trying to disconnect the battery can be very challenging and very time-consuming, because we're trying to locate where the battery is and then figure out what is the best way to disconnect that battery, whether it's a regular 12-volt battery or one of the batteries on a hybrid vehicle, because, like I said, there's so many of them right now, and they're all in different locations. There are no batteries in the same location of every make and model and every manufacturer. So, and that's why, like I said, with seminars like this, it gives us a better idea to help us find like where those locations are and how to disconnect some of the batteries, both the hybrid and the 12-volt batteries.
Well, Chief, thanks so much for everything that you guys are doing. You guys are leading by examples. Of course, this is, you know, we're Chicago's station. You know, and of course, you know, we're right here, but we reach 38 states and Canada at night, so a big signal. So I know a lot of departments and emergency service workers and fire departments are being able to hear this as well. So, Natalie, before we let you go, if people want to get more information, maybe host one of these seminars in their town, or get more information on how to participate or get in on some of this information, this intel, tell them how they can do that.
Yeah, so I am actually with Crash Champions, so we're the host of the event, and it was all put together in conjunction with the National Auto Body Council. So this is a program that is funded and sponsored by the National Auto Body Council, and it's a program that goes throughout the U.S., so any collision center that is affiliated with that organization is able to team up with them to host this type of event throughout the country.
All right, and we've got the links. It's www.nationalautobodycouncil.org, and I'm sure that they'll be able to help get more information for those departments or people that hear this want to get more kind of intel on what they can do or their community can learn or kind of add to their repertoire of ability to handle emergencies, especially these car crashes. So, Chief and Natalie, thanks so much for everything that you guys are doing. We'll let you get back to it, and thanks for jumping on the show tonight.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you having us on tonight.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, guys. Wow. See, I had not even thought of that, Tom, that you have the ability for, you know, all of these different cars, you know, when they get into crashes, granted, you've got to create that cocoon, and I know it's hard to get through that because that is there to protect the people from the crash and dissipate some of that energy from the collision, but it makes it hard for people to get in there and rescue you, too. And then I didn't think about some of those new materials that are out there. And then, of course, the electric cars, that's one thing that is interesting as well.